Okay. Good evening, everyone. I will call the regular meeting of council of February 23rd to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilwoman Jennifer Summers Greer.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Albiro.
Here.
The first order of business is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting minutes of February 9th, 2017.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
I would not like to motion for acceptance of the minutes for the last meeting. The idea behind that is to make sure the accuracy and the, you know, of the document. And I just received this literally just about an hour ago. So I think it wasn't enough time for me to look at it and review it. So I would, and if, you know, I wouldn't vote to approve them only for that reason. I mean, if we can get them a little earlier so we can look at them, maybe we can do this motion next at our next meeting for the minutes. But I just think we need to get them a little earlier and you know, to be able to look at them and review them.
Councilman Byer, I understand your concerns. In defense of the clerk, these have been some very long meetings, and the minutes are written verbatim from the audio. And so it does take her a little bit of time to do that. I think she gets them out at a reasonably appropriate amount of time. And I'm not sure that there can be easily a motion at the table and seconded, and then council can vote. But I appreciate your concerns.
Well, I mean, it's just if we're trying to look at the accuracy of the minutes, if we're going to approve them without really being able to look at them and look for the accuracy, I think it's kind of a moot point in terms of the motion. So that's my, you know, just my thought.
Mr. Lowry, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, Mr. Byro wanted a motion that's in the negative, and we shouldn't really ever do motions in the negative. They should always be more in the positive. So, plus he didn't get a second, so you're still open to asking for a motion to adopt.
Do I hear a motion to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of February 9th? Seeing none, that will be on the first order of business at the next council meeting. Thank you. The next order of business is correspondence, notification, and minutes. I will not have the clerk read these, as these will be on file in the journal. The next order of business is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Nancy. The AARP is doing income tax service for the senior citizens, and they go from February 13th through April 10th. If you call my call City Hall, make an appointment. It's necessary, and they do them 9:30 to 1. So make your appointment with City Hall. Income tax, the RITA, the city income tax, they're going to be here March 30th from 1 to 7, and they'll be at City Hall right here. I want to announce that 2017 baseball registration ends March 15th, and the girls' softball registration ends March the 12th. The Willoughby Hills Art Gallery, the photo contest, the deadline to enter is March the 2nd, and the reception is the 10th of March, and that's a Friday. We have pancake breakfast on March 3rd, March 12th, and the 19th. The first two are by the Rec Commission. The third one is by the Lions Club. It's $7 at the door. children 5 to 12 are $4, and under 4, it's free. The 2017 Deer Management Program is going on right now, today, tonight, and they're in the park. It's closed, and they're culling the deer. And this will go on through March at periodic times, and they close the park with the rangers. That's all I have, Mr. President.
Thank you. The next order of business is the Law Director's report.
Two matters for tonight. Number one is Ordinance 2017-11, which involves the matter concerning civil service and the appointment to department heads. Last time I reported, I asked you for a little time on this because we had a civil service meeting that was scheduled last week. Due to some notice issues, it didn't go out, so we had to cancel it, and we had it today. We had a very good meeting with the members of the civil service, the mayor, and Ms. Councilwoman Micah showed up, and we had a very good and frank discussion. I think she's going to report on this later, hopefully. I'll be asking that it remain on third reading and or tabled at this time, subject to what Ms. Micah's opinion was at that meeting, but I think on the parallel opinion on that thing. And we had a good discussion with them, and I think we understand council's concern, and there's other things that we may be recommending to you, and hopefully we'll get council's consensus on this. But I'll let Ms. Councilwoman Micah lead that discussion, and I'll chime in at that time. Number two is there's some issues concerning the SB 311, I believe. It's the tower issue, and I understand that there's been Councilman Plechnik brought forward some things about some things that Menner's doing and a few others, and some moratoriums and things of that nature. I'm going to ask the council to go with a little bit of caution on this one and not to jump the gun. It's a very touchy issue. It's fertile for litigation. In fact, we were at a seminar today, although I had to leave it early because I had to come to the civil service thing, about what we can do and can't do and what some of the other cities are doing, okay? You don't want to go too far on this. We have some rights, but they're very limited rights. There's been federal preemption, as you know, with the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and this SB 331, which is the state preemption for right-of-ways. So everybody's sort of scrambling to do things, and there's a lot of opinions out there as to what you can do and how far you can go and things of that nature. And I'm going to give some – I've talked with the clerk about this. I've got some material for you to review that I just didn't get to her today, and hopefully have it. But it's something that we should look at, but don't go too far on this because you don't want to go too far. That's all my concern is. You're going to have some rights, but they're very limited now with the state preemption. So, and I haven't reviewed what Menner did, and the moratorium issue is now not really available anymore either, just so you know. Okay? Thank you. And I'm open to questions.
Thank you. Next order of business is the Finance Director's report.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Sorry, I did have a question for the Law Director. You know, going back to the issue of the cell tower at the Grange, I think that he and I have a different interpretation of 2016-29, and I just wanted to clarify what his interpretation was. I've said repeatedly that I, as a legislator, voted for Ordinance 2016-29 under the impression and the belief that Section 4 made execution contingent on planning and zoning approval, which is essentially a quote from Section 4. But I'm under the impression that while I believe execution means both parties to the contract signing, I think the Law Director believes execution means something different in this context. And if I'm correct on that, I'd like the Law Director to explain what he thinks execution means in this context.
Well, you can't focus in on just one word. You've got to look at the entire thing. You look at things for the intent. There's going to be difference of an opinion on this legally. Okay? I don't look at it that particular way. I think you have to, if you look at just one word and try to interpret one word in the contract or in an ordinance, that's not the way to do it. You have to look at it telescopically to get all the facts and circumstances. That's how I believe a court will interpret it. And the point on that particular point is primarily it could be read two ways, and the court will always, in my opinion, interpret it that it will not have a legal impossibility, a legal fiction, or a impossible situation. Because as a matter of law, the approval by planning is, in fact, required before they get approval. So the interpretation, the way it is, and it's an interpretation, and there's subject to a lot of interpretations, it would be a legal impossibility. It would be a legal fiction. And it's only a matter of timing when we got the approval. Because under, I think it's 116108B6, I wish I had the numbers here, John, and if I misquoted it, I apologize. One of the prerequisites to get approval is, in fact, the lease. And when we go to planning, oftentimes we require, most of the time, the good planning directors always require, and planning commissions always require, that if somebody else is building the property, you need the approval of that individual to even proceed in the process. So that's where I'm coming from. And when you look at everything, the rest of the ordinance, the minutes, everything, but the words from the four corners, the most important, I read it absolutely differently.
So just so that I understand, you're saying in your legal opinion, actually signing the agreement was not contingent on planning and zoning approval?
No, I'm saying as a matter of law, planning approval is required as a matter of law pursuant to our ordinances. Under 1161-08B, whatever it is required. So you didn't have to put it in there. That's why it is absolutely a condition precedent as a matter of law. So you couldn't, the way, if you interpret it any other way, you'd say, well, we need approval. But you can't get approval. It's the chicken and the egg. It's the cart and the horse. And it's just a matter of timing. So that's how I interpreted it.
So I just want to make sure that I understand, though. My interpretation has been that the mayor's signing of any agreement with the cell phone company was contingent on planning and zoning approval and that he should not have done so. You're telling me that signing was not contingent on planning and zoning approval.
We're really dancing on the head of a pin, and I don't want to argue about it.
But I just want to know.
You can't get approval without that. You cannot get approval without the lease being signed. That's our law. That is the ordinance as we have adopted in 2006. That's why it comes to the point that you need it beforehand. You can't interpret it the way you're interpreting it. Otherwise, it would be a legal fiction. It would be a legal impossibility because you can't get approval without it. That's what I'm doing.
Well, you know, just like I said, just so that I understand, though, you're saying, and if you could tell me yes or no, just so I could simply understand, was the mayor's signing of the agreement contingent on planning and zoning approval, yes or no?
No.
I have the opinion of an attorney who says that signing the agreement, and by the way, this attorney goes so far as to say that it's crystal clear that signing the agreement was not just contingent, but totally contingent on planning and zoning approval.
I think I've talked to that lawyer, and I've talked to other lawyers.
I think you've talked to this lawyer, too, and I'd like to give everyone a copy of this lawyer's statement. And I'd be happy to share this with any members of the public who'd like to read it as well.
Council President. May I ask if this is the proper time to be doing this?
It's, you know,
and I quote,
it is.
I just wanted them to be crystal clear that the signing of the agreement is totally contingent on the Planning Commission approval. Thanks, Thomas G. Lobey. June 16th, 2016. I just thought that was important to share.
Incredible. I understand you're taking an email and attempting to use it for that purpose. I understand that, but the email does not take control over the ultimate intent of this thing and as a matter of law. I get that, Mr. President. I really do. And I think it's a nice attempt. It's a simplification of a much more complex issue. And I get that.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
And I did talk with other attorneys, I did talk with other attorneys. In fact, Mr. Byron is here, and I've talked with Shelley Burns, and I've talked with others. And there's varied opinion on this thing. Trust me, there are varied opinions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next order of business is the Finance Director's Report. Mr. Berkchek.
First, I'd like to report that the budget message for 2017 was emailed to all of council today, as well as hard copies were placed in your mailboxes. So if you can, you know, please review that. Along with the budget message, I included also included a schedule that reconciles the figures that appear in the budget book as it was distributed on February the 9th to the numbers in the appropriation ordinance. There were a couple of changes that we discussed at the last meeting. secondly, I'd like to let you know that our $550,000 general obligation note was sold today. The interest rate will be 2% with a yield of 1.2%. I've also emailed that information to you. This is higher than last year's rate of 1%. The market has shifted. There, since the last time we talked, there have been a couple of pronouncements and raises of short-term interest rates. The short-term market has moved. The long-term market has not moved. However, we are very competitive in the marketplace. The other thing that, and even more so than these statements, the other thing that works against us is the fact that it's only a $550,000 note. It's a very small issue. But those two things combined to result in the 2% rate. That note will be issued on March the 8th. And finally, the last thing that I have for you tonight is that I also emailed out, I received last night, was able to access the changes in the January Consumer Price Index. And as a result of the change from January this year to January last, the council, mayor, safety director, and public works, service director, the salary adjustment for this year will be 1.57%. That's an across-the-board increase for all elected officials, and it's required by sections 121, 131 of the codified ordinances, as well as ordinances 2002, 119, and 120.
Any questions for the finance director?
Madam President, one to think about, Frank, would be since you mentioned the smaller amount of the bond at 550, having some difficulty with getting that out there, we want to consider for next year and for planning purposes, do we still want to continue to put that out for bond renewal, or do we want to look at some other options? I think we can talk about that in more detail.
I've already started to think about it. It just depends. It depends upon what our plans are. Some of the decisions that I made this year, because if we decide to debt finance anything that's in the budget this year, then we can roll the issues together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Berkachek. Next is our city engineer's report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. No formal report, but I'm open to questions.
Any questions for the engineer this evening? Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Pete. You're sitting next to him. Sorry. Our next order of business is committee reports. Vice President Pleshnik, would you like to start with finance?
Certainly, Madam President. We had a finance committee meeting on February 21st at 6:18 p.m. Myself was present as chair, as well as our president of council, Nancy Fellows, as member. Councilwoman Greer was absent, but also present were Councilman Biro, Councilman Fiebig, Councilwoman Micah, the mayor, and the finance director. I'll try to summarize, because it was a rather lengthy meeting. We covered a lot of bases, but we discussed how the finance director, the mayor, and I had met the previous Friday to discuss the 2017 proposed budget, and in short, administration agreed to revise the proposed budget, and we've received the budget message, which reflects those revisions, so that it will balance. I explained that the main difference between the 2016 budget and the 2017 proposed budget is the cost of additional staffing in the police and fire departments, specifically an increase of 2 police officers and 3 firefighters, and it was agreed that the additional cost should essentially come from Safety Forces 234. I had asked our finance director to share his thoughts, and he agreed that the proposed budget is now balanced, but clarified that the General Fund 110 subsidy to the Safety Forces Fund 234 was reduced to the tune of $300,000, which essentially reformulated the deficit from about $294,600 to a small surplus of about $5,000, which is reflected in the budget message. He also described how we discussed the balances in the road funds, and it was decided, at least amongst the three of us, it was prudent to leave those balances in place for future years and not draw the funds down any further. We talked more, and the finance director talked more specifically about changes to the 2017 proposed budget relative to 2016, and finance director Berkachek agreed that the biggest change is the staffing for police and fire. The biggest wild cards in budgeting for that increased cost will be guessing when the new police and firefighters will be hired, their level of seniority, and how their hiring will impact overtime in their department, because the cost of overtime in the fire department was extremely high in 2016 relative to past years. We're budgeting for a more historically normal cost in 2017 under the assumption that increased staffing will alleviate the cost of overtime somewhat. The finance director added that the 2017 budget reflects the reduction in sewer rates passed by council, but only impacts three quarters because the first quarter collected in 2017 actually relates to sewer usage in 2016 before the sewer fee cut was passed and effective. I had mentioned that we'd also discuss the Pleasant Valley Road Bridge Maintenance Fund, 443. When the county proposed shutting the bridge down, the city purchased the bridge to preserve it for residents. The city created Fund 443 and required $15,000 to be transferred to it every year from the license fees and the street construction, maintenance, and repair fund. However, for years, administration failed to transfer the legally required amount of $15,000. I had noted that Council President Fellows was the one who first discovered this failure on the part of administration. Finance Director Berkachek replied that he was the one who first discovered the legal failure of administration to transfer the funds. But nonetheless, the funds will be fully restored as of next year and may be restored this year depending on whether or not we need the additional funds, because there's a serious possibility we'll be performing its essentially once-a-decade maintenance this year to restore the bridge. We also discussed road work and the service department budget for 2017. Councilman Fiebig asked the mayor which roads were on the agenda for repaving this year, and Mayor Weger replied that our street superintendent Grubus had identified Rockefeller, Stark, Red Fox, and Keneally as the highest priority roads for repaving. Councilman Fiebig asked if the mayor meant all or part of Rockefeller, and the mayor replied that he only meant Rockefeller in between Chardon and Eddy. The mayor also shared that the city engineer wants to review the roads. Councilman Fiebig asked why, and the mayor replied to determine the cost of the projects. The finance director explained that only $400,000 is currently budgeted for road repair, but a soft estimate for repairing all of our roads that really need work was about $1.8 million. We discussed whether or not we're still relying on the 2014 Service Department report by Street Superintendent Grubus, and the mayor replied, yes, we are. I had raised the issue that some of those numbers, I believe, came from the 2013 report from our former Street Superintendent. The mayor replied that, yes, the road rankings were drawn from that original report. A couple additional budget issues we discussed. Finance Director Berkachek mentioned that debt is a viable alternative for financing the repaving of streets. He also shared there are many items in the state budget that might impact Willoughby Hills. There's a proposal to reallocate the local government fund toward bedroom communities, which could be favorable. There's also a proposal to have the state more involved in collecting our income taxes, which could cost us more money. Councilman Biro asked about the impact of losing Debbie Doles. Finance Director Berkachek replied that his assistant Finance Director Doles has submitted her resignation to Willoughby Hills and is joining Wycliffe as their Deputy Finance Director on a transitional basis, the plan being for her to be promoted to the full Finance Director for Wycliffe. So I guess congratulations are in order to Ms. Doles. Councilman Fiebig asked if we've looked into the possibility of hiring a payroll services company instead of another Assistant Finance Director. The mayor replied that payroll services companies would still require us to have another employee to fill out the paperwork, so it would make no sense. And the Finance Director asserted we'd still do 80% of the work. Councilman Fiebig asked how the budget accounts for the salaries of the union contracts that have yet to be passed. I replied that the budget assumes assumes the raises of the current drafts of the union contracts, as well as a 2% raise for most non-union employees. And the finance director added that the budget is merely a plan for spending. The budget is not a license to spend. He also closed by stating that he had shared with council a schedule which reflects the aforementioned reduction of the general fund subsidy to safety forces. We had a public portion at 6:53, closed at 6:54 with no one speaking, and the meeting adjourned at 6:54 p.m. I certainly stand open to questions.
Any questions of Vice President Pleshnik on his finance report? Seeing none. Councilman Hallam, any updates or tidbits from planning and zoning?
We approved a house and a pole barn.
Okay.
That's about it right
now. All right. Thank you.
Madam President, I have a report.
Yes. You're next.
Thank you. I have a report from the Safety Committee of Council, which met on Tuesday, February 21st at 6:04. I'm the chair of that. Janet Micah was in attendance. Jennifer Gurr was absent. Council President Fellows also joined us, along with Vice President Plechnik, Councilman Biro, and Mayor Wager. We were considering two pieces of legislation for tonight's agenda, proposed ordinance 2017 regarding a snow ban. This came through the administration via the chief of police. I gave the mayor an opportunity to comment on that. He said it's pretty self-explanatory and agreed with everything that was in there. Councilwoman Micah talked about the how notification happens and the logistics of that. And through that conversation, it came up that we should notify council, the mayor should notify council, and also be using social media channels as well as the usual channels 3, 5, 8, 19, and I suppose any newspapers, too, that you would notify, too. But any sort of notification should include council, so it was determined that we should include that language in the legislation, and I did go ahead and make that amendment, and that is in tonight's legislation, numbered 17, I believe.
19.
Or 19. Other concerns of Councilman Plechnik brought up about how police use common sense on enforcement, and that our intent of this legislation is for officers to take into consideration driveways being repaired and things like that when it comes to either a parking ban or a snow ban type of incidents. I brought up how Lakewood, in their particular community, has very specific problems, and because of their density, they have maps and streets that are already designated, so the residents on those streets already know ahead of time. It's kind of a proactive way to let people know that live in the community that your streets are targeted for, particularly first, you know, snow bans and things like that. So we might want to consider doing that for a couple of the roads that are in the city. That came out of our conversation there. There was only one incident that the mayor brought up of a car that in the last snowstorm that managed to park like in the middle of the street, and we had some issues with trying to get around that. I suppose you had some trouble with the plows and things like that, but they called the resident in the morning and they moved the car, and it hasn't happened in about 12 years, as you indicated, Mayor. But there were some concerns, Councilwoman Fellows, who expressed through Councilwoman Greer that might have had some issues with either the snow ban or the parking ban, so we did discuss what they might be, but I'm open to questions tonight if you did have any, and Councilman Hallam, too, is, I understand you talked to the police chief, we mentioned that in our meeting, and that maybe your concerns were alleviated because of that. So we were kind of working along both of these tracks of the parking ban and the snow ban. The consensus was to, with the amendment, it's ready for putting on the agenda, which obviously it is tonight. And on the parking ban, this is an update to existing law that just simply puts the window of time between 2 and 5 a.m. rather than the current law says any 8-hour window between 10 p.m. and I believe it's 6 a.m. So very difficult to enforce. The chief asked us to clean up the language and mirror what other communities were doing and make the ban simply between 2 and 5 a.m. And that's for safety and for our residents in the community. Obviously, we talked about the enforcement of that and how officers do have discretion on whether they, write a ticket or if they run a plate and know that it's the resident there, or obviously common sense. If a driveway is being repaved or something like that, they're not going to write a ticket, or that was like common sense. And we have to put it in the hands of the officers to enforce the law and to use good discretion on that. The decision for that, the consensus was to put it in rules and to allow rules to recommend it for passage. Public portion opened at 6:16. There were just a couple of comments. Linda Fulton made the suggestion of putting the snow ban signs at each of the entrances to the city, and we designated about 7 places where there were entrances to the city and let people know that during a snow emergency that they shouldn't be parking on the streets. Mr. Sahula just simply asked asked about what the legislation was numbered. So public portion closed at 6:18. I'm open to any questions if there are any, specifically from you, Ms. Greer, if you had any concerns on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Phoebe. Jennifer, do you have any?
Not at this time.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions for Councilman Phoebe on safety and street bans and snow bans? Okay. Councilwoman Micah, are you willing to share some tidbits from Civil Service Commission before I do rules? Or if not, that's fine.
I gathered a lot of information, and we talked for really a couple of hours, so I felt that the information would be best to go into committee.
Okay.
You know, we could work on that together in rules.
Okay. Mr. Lobey, were you at the meeting now?
I was, and Mayor was there, and Ms. Micah's. We talked after the meeting, and I concur with her.
Okay.
She has a few good things that we'd like to present to council, see where council wants to go with it.
Okay.
And I'll let her take the lead on it.
All right. Thank you. Then I'll report on rules and legislation. The Rules and Legislation Committee met February 21st. We began at 6:59 p.m. All members of the committee were there. Myself, Vice President Pleshnik, and Councilwoman Jan Micah. Also present were Councilman Biro and Fibig and the mayor. The order of business was for legislation this evening. The first one is Ordinance 2017-4. This is the ordinance to amend Section 351.14a concerning overnight parking. This was brought forth for clarification and to aid our police officers in enforcing the law. What we have now is outdated. We have had a lot of discussion on this. This has been in committee. We had it on third reading already, and so Rules and Legislation of Council recommends adopting. The next one is Ordinance 2017-7, an ordinance authorizing the expenditure funds required to perform the city's 2015-2016 audit. This is requested because it exceeds the mayor's spending limit. Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends reading it the third time and adopting. Ordinance 2017-8 is ordinance authorizing the expenditure of $26,925.17 for the annual support service contract for CODI in the CAD RMS system. For the police department, this is an annual contract. Rules and Legislation of Council recommends reading it for the third time and adopting. The next one is Ordinance 2017-10. This is the ordinance to amend Part 11 of the Planning and Zoning Code, Chapter 1161, to expand the area in which property owners are provided notification of proposed conditional use of a telecommunications tower or facility from 500 to 2,640 feet or a half-mile radius. This was discussed in the Safety Committee of Council on 123. It's still in the Safety Committee. There's a lot of discussion that came around that night. Some said a half-mile is fine. There were other just thoughts about maybe instead of having it going to 2,640 feet to go to 1,000 feet or 1,500 feet. So it was decided to either continue to explore this in the Safety Committee meeting, or I can obviously put it in the Working Committee of Council. The mayor was going to forward utility pole tower information to Council, which he's done. So right now, Ordinance 2710, Rules and Legislation recommends to be on second reading. Ordinance 2711 is the ordinance establishing the terms and conditions required for the confirmation of mayoral appointment of department heads. This is intended to be used for council as a check and balance for confirming new appointments. We have had this discussion in Working Committee of Council on February 9th. We did incorporate the definition of family from the Ohio Ethics Commission, and we did determine it would stay on the third reading as we were waiting for some suggestions and thoughts from Tom Majeski in the Civil Service Commission, I think was specifically to drug testing and background checks. So we will move forward with that since that meeting was done today. The next one is Ordinance 2017-12, an ordinance addressing a temporary moratorium on the cultivation, processing, and retail dispensing facilities of medical marijuana. I reviewed Section 4 of the ordinance. I misunderstood the sequence of the ordinance at the rules meeting, and it is important for Council to eventually adopt this for the Planning and Zoning Commission and the administration to move forward with what they are tasked with. Rules and Legislation recommends this stay on second reading. The next couple relates to the composition for police and fire ordinances introduced by the mayor at the end of January. This is an excellent opportunity to review Chapter 139 for the police department and Chapter 141 for the fire department, so everything is current and updated. Ordinance 2017-4 is the composition of the police department. It will also have the two additional full-time police positions identified in that. Rules and Legislation recommends first reading. Ordinance 2017-15 is the composition of the fire department, and that would also add three additional full-time positions. And the mayor indicated that during the collective bargaining meetings, captains are being eliminated, and therefore the purpose of the positions would be fire chief and assistant fire chief, lieutenants, and firefighters. Rules and Legislation recommends first reading. Ordinance 2017-16, ordinance to accept a bid for the purchase of asphalt. It's recommended to be first reading. Ordinance 2017-7, an ordinance to accept the bid for limestone, recommended for first reading. Ordinance 2017-18 is the 2017 budget permanent appropriations. Rules and Legislation recommends first reading. And then Ordinance 2017-19, the snow ban ordinance. This has been vetted in Safety Committee. Legislation recommends first reading. New business was that there would be a motion for this evening for the 27 pavement marking program. Public portion opened at 7:31 p.m. Linda Fulton inquired the mayor when he was going to hire a permanent fire chief. As he indicated prior to this, that the process would begin in January of 2017, the mayor replied, in the near future. And Frank Sahula identified some small corrections needed on ordinances. Public portion closed at 7:33 p.m. The meeting adjourned at 7:33 p.m., and I'm open to any questions.
Madam President.
Vice President Fiebig.
On Ordinance 16 and 17, the limestone and the concrete and stone, are we in a bit of a time factor on that to get that ordered in? It's something that we do every year, but do we need to do that immediately, Mayor, or a road superintendent? Does that need to get done now rather than hold off for a couple of weeks? I saw the pile in the back and it seemed low, so I think if you don't mind, I may make a motion to waive and adopt that, if that's all right.
Just those two?
On both those, yeah.
Anyone else? Okay. So we will move forward to any other council representative reports, which I do not believe we have, and the next would be public portion. So I will open public portion at 7:37 p.m. This is an opportunity for the public to come forth to share their thoughts and opinions on issues in the city. Sometimes we can answer questions that residents have. Sometimes we need to collect some information either from council or for administration. We will let you know on that. So anybody is welcome to come forward. Hi, Doris.
I would like to...
Oh, and please name your name
Doris,
and address.
Doris Dodge. And I would like to ask if it's possible to have the audio and visual parts of the chambers here updated, because watching it at home on channel 12, it's very grainy, and the audio portion is quite poor unless the council members are speaking literally right into the microscope, into the microphone. So I think it would be time to get this updated. Also, regarding the Grange, since this facility is supported by the taxpayer dollars, I would again ask that this is a lovely facility, and allow it to be opened up to the public the same way that the Civic Center is for rental purposes. And the last issue, I heard your report on the roads to, you know, what roads are going to be fixed. Pleasant Valley Road was done a couple years ago, but the other half wasn't done. And I wanted to know if there is any progress in having that part done, because it's getting pretty nasty down there. The potholes are huge.
Thank you, Doris. Anyone else? I will close public portion at 7:39 p.m. The issue of the audio, you know, that has been looked into on and off.
It's on the web now.
Yeah, it's... And it would certainly warrant investigation, and it would be costly to do that. But your comment is certainly noted, and others have made the same, Doris. And as far as the road, Mr. Grubas is here. I don't want to put you on the spot, Mark. She had a question about Pleasant Valley.
He has to speak.
And if you want to speak, you can come at the mic, or you can contact her later.
What was the question?
Come to
half of Pleasant Valley was resurfaced, but the other half wasn't. And I wanted to know if you can do the other half.
Oh, you mean on the other side of the bridge? Not at this time.
But the potholes will be fixed.
We can do the patch as soon as the weather breaks. The asphalt plants aren't open right now.
Okay, so just to reiterate, Mrs. Dodge had asked about the second half of the Pleasant Valley Road on the other half of the bridge, and if that was going to be repaired, as it's in bad condition. And Mr. Grubas said not at this time. However, the mayor added that the potholes would be filled, and asphalt plants aren't open right now. Correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Even if we wanted to do road repairs, we can't do it right now. We can't get asphalt.
Okay, so asphalt's not available to start road repair, so patching can be done. Okay, is there any unfinished business for, is there any unfinished business for council this evening? Seeing none. The next order of business is legislation. Okay. Next order of business is legislation. The first one is Ordinance 2017-4. Vicki, will you read the caption?
An ordinance repealing Ordinance Number 1978-33 and enacting lieu thereof a new ordinance amending Part 3, Traffic Code, Title 7, Parking, Chapter 351, Parking Generally, Section 351.14, Overnight Parking of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Move the council adopt Ordinance 2017-4.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance 2017-4. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Hallam.
If I recall, in the ordinance there were some specific areas that the police felt were more in need of making sure we didn't have overnight parking. And I'm just wondering, was there any discussion about maybe putting any kind of signage up on those particular streets?
Madam President, if I could answer.
Vice President Pleshnik.
We did discuss that, and it's entirely in the discretion of the police chief in the city to put that signage up. The ordinance does say the chief can designate whatever streets they think need it, and then it's the city's responsibility to put up a sign, and I certainly agree that we should get the signs out in the relevant streets.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Abstain.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-4 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-7.
An ordinance authorizing the expenditure of funds required to perform the city's 2015-2016 audit and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move that council adopts Ordinance Number 2017-7.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to adopt Ordinance 2017-7. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-7 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-8.
An ordinance authorizing the expenditure of $26,925.17 required for the annual support service contract for the Cody CAD RMS system and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move that council adopts Ordinance Number 2017-8.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byron, a second from Councilwoman Micah, to adopt Ordinance 2017-8. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, just one question.
Councilman Hill.
Is there a particular date when this invoice is due? Do we know?
The exhibit was dated November 1st and was given to us. This is third reading.
No, I understand that. I was just wondering, like, you get an invoice from them. I assume we get an invoice from them, and I don't remember if there was a date when it was due by.
February 1st.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Councilwoman Greer, did you have a question?
I did. Does this go out to bid?
No, it didn't. It's a professional service in the sole source provider.
What do you mean by sole source provider? There's no other. This is the only company that can provide this service to us.
That's correct. This is proprietary software.
Okay.
For the police department.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-8 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-10.
An ordinance amending Part 11, Planning and Zoning Code, Title 11, Supplemental Development Standards, Chapter 1161, Regulations for Wireless Telecommunication Facilities, Section 1161.04, Locations Requiring Conditional Use Approval of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills.
The Rules and Legislation recommended that this be on second reading, and either we readdress it in the Safety Committee or Working Council Committee of the Whole. And I'll speak to Councilman Phoebe about that as the chairman and a safety and see where we want to put it, and then we'll set a date either one way or the other for Council to know. The next one is Ordinance 2017-11.
An ordinance establishing the terms and conditions required for the confirmation of mayor appointments of the heads of all departments of the municipality.
Rules and Legislation suggest that this stay on third reading until we have an opportunity to hear the recommendations and thoughts from the Civil Service Commission. The next one is Ordinance 2017-12.
An ordinance imposing a temporary moratorium on medical marijuana cultivation, processing, and retail dispensary facilities within the City of Willoughby Hills, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
And Rules and Legislation recommend that this stay on second reading. The next one is Ordinance 2017-14.
An ordinance repealing ordinance numbers 2011-21, 2002-46, and enacting in lieu thereof a new ordinance amending Part 1, Administrative Code, Chapter 139, Police Department of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills.
Rules and Legislation have recommended this be on first reading. The next one is 2017-15.
An ordinance repealing ordinance numbers 2002-47, 2008-43, and enacting in lieu thereof a new ordinance amending Part 1, Administrative Code, Title 5, Administrative, Chapter 141, Fire Department, Section 141.01, Composition, Section 141.02, Rules and Regulations and Compensation Adopted, Section 141.03, Part-Time Firefighters, and Section 141.04, Fire Chief, Conditions of Employment, Duties of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills.
And Rules and Legislation recommend this be on first reading. The next one is Ordinance 2017-16.
An ordinance accepting the bid of Osborne Concrete and Stone for the purpose of asphalt for the year 2017.
Madam President.
Purchase.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move to waive the three readings for Ordinance 2017-16.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Hallam to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2017-16. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, just to reiterate what we spoke of earlier, 2016 and 2017 are time-sensitive. In fact, we've had a bit of an early spring here, so we want to be sure that we can take care of our roads this year, and this is an annual appropriation, so waiving three readings would be prudent for us to do at this time.
Madam President, would you like to add the emergency clause on it too so we can purchase stone next week?
This is just for stone. Three readings, though. This is just waiving three readings.
We should really amend it first and then do the three readings. So I'll ask you, if you're going to do it, I'll ask you to withdraw it, amend it, vote on the amendment, then waive the three reading.
And fine, we'll do that.
You don't get a two-day notification because it's not a...
I thought Mr. Grubas indicated also that...
Asphalt, you don't have to do it.
Can't get asphalt right now anyway.
Yeah.
So if they're.
But for the stone, you wanted to do with the emergency cause. So this is okay.
Madam President, a question.
This one.
On asphalt, because of the early spring, do you think they'll be opening a little earlier this year?
No, it's going to be cold again, and they won't open.
You've got your crystal ball out, I see.
So we don't have to do emergency.
Mayor Wager's predicting another 6 weeks of winter.
I saw my shadow.
Yeah.
So I have a motion on the table to waive the three reading rule.
Madam President, I'll withdraw that motion.
I think we're okay, Dave.
You're okay with that one.
Because he said they're not open yet anyway.
We're just going to do emergency.
It's the second one we want to add it on to.
Okay.
Not on the first.
Oh, okay.
They're withdrawing their motion to waive.
That's right. That is the second one.
Right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, but there was a motion on the table.
There was a motion. There's a motion on the table to
waive and adopt
the three reading rule. It's been seconded. We asked for an amendment. Now we determined we don't need the amendment for the emergency clause, so I hope you proceed simply on the waiver of the three reading
rule. Right, right. We're good.
Which we can.
I know. Right. Yeah. Which you can.
That the asphalt plants will open, but this opens up the opportunity, just in case I'm right, and spring will come early.
Okay.
Well, in that case, you may as well amend it, because you're still,
if you
don't put the emergency tag on, you're still 30 days out.
You don't need to amend it, though. Not the first.
Then why waive the three readings?
Madam President, first I make a motion to amend Ordinance 2017-16 to add an emergency tag.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik to amend Ordinance 2017-16 to have an emergency tag on it, and was seconded by Councilman Hallam. Is there any discussion on the motion to amend to add the emergency tag? Seeing none.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Spiro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-16 has been amended to add the emergency tag.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to waive three readings on Ordinance 2017-16.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Hallam to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-16. Is there any additional discussion on that motion? Seeing none.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Spiro.
Yes.
The three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-16 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to adopt Ordinance 2017-16.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Hallam to adopt Ordinance 2017-16. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Spiro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-16 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-17.
Madam President.
Read the caption, Vicki, please.
Oh.
An ordinance accepting a bid of SOS Trucking Company, Inc. for the purchase of limestone for the year 2017.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to amend Ordinance 2017-17 to add an emergency tag.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to amend Ordinance 2017-17, adding an emergency tag. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Spiro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-17 has been amended to add the emergency tag.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to waive the three readings of Ordinance 2017-17.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a motion from Councilman Biro to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-17. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
The three reading rule has been waived on Ordinance 2017-17.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to adopt Ordinance 2017-17.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Biro to adopt Ordinance 2017-17. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-17 has been adopted as amended. The next one is Ordinance 2017-18.
An ordinance adopting permanent appropriations necessary to maintain city services for the fiscal period beginning January 1st through December 31st of 2017, repealing all legislation inconsistent herewith.
A rules and legislation recommends this be on first reading. The next one is Ordinance 2017-19.
An ordinance amending Part 3 Traffic Code, Title 7, Parking, Chapter 351, Parking Generally by the Establishment of Section 351.16, Snow Emergency of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills.
Rules and legislation recommends this be on first reading. The next is new business.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Motion of council authorizing the mayor to seek bids for the 2017 pavement marking program.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro and a second from Councilman Hallam to authorize the mayor to seek bids for the 2017 pavement marking program. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President,
Vice President,
I just wanted to share that while this is not formally part of the program, several residents have approached me. I know they've approached the mayor as well, questioning about the markings on Somme Center Road and whether they were final or not. Apparently, the road was wet when the final stripes were added, and even so, they didn't add the proper beading as well, so there wasn't the reflectivity that should have been there. So while it was intended to be the final striping, it wasn't done properly, and they've kind of washed off the road. The company is going to be redoing the striping at no expense to the city, so it's not formally part of the program. I do want people on Somme Center Road to know that the problem is known and it will be dealt with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Vice President Fiebig.
Two items for new business to consider to add.
We're still on this.
We have a motion on table yet.
Oh, God, excuse me.
That's okay. Any other discussion on the motion to authorize the mayor to seek bids for the 2017 pavement marking program? Seeing none, Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Oh, I'm jumping the gun, too, now.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
The motion authorizing the mayor to seek bids for the 2017 pavement marking program has been passed. Other new business.
Madam President, the idea that the green should be added to Section 941 as a public property was discussed in a Recreation Committee of Council many years ago, which I chaired. I think it's prudent to bring it up at this time again and to move forward with making sure that that's on our list of public properties and access is available. So I'd move to, whether you want to make a motion for this or not, it's up to you as chair, but I believe we need to move forward with that. Whether that's recreation or working committee of council or whatever you choose.
We can put in working committee of council along with a couple other things. Agreed? For discussion. Okay.
Second item?
Yes.
I believe it's well taken that the audio and video for the council chambers has long been deficient, and our residents have suffered through that for a long time. I'd recommend or suggest that we put together an ad hoc committee of council to investigate capital improvements for the technology there, and I'd be glad to be involved with that.
I'm just thinking how to move forward with it. Because we really don't have a committee on communication.
It would have to be an ad hoc committee that right. we would form. I'm willing to be the chair of and get a few members and research what would be required. If there's any other suggestions from the DS, though, that'd be fine, too. But I think that'd be the best way to move forward, just to investigate what it would take to make that happen, make that improvement.
Councilwoman Greer?
No. Madam President, perhaps you start by looking at the research that's been done before. It sounds like there have been some bids or suggestions on how to improve the technology that's already in here. maybe start there.
Quite a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, because it's been a long time. It's been like 10 years.
Oh, well.
It's been a while.
How technology
changes. Technology changes a lot in 10 years.
It sure does.
As evidenced by my...
Yes.
I had a flip phone 10 years.
So Councilman Fiebig is offering to be a chair of an ad hoc committee just to begin to collect some information for improvement on the audio and videos for City Council. Would anybody else like to work with him on that?
Madam President?
Do I guess we need a motion to form an ad hoc committee?
Madam President?
Vice President Fleischnick?
That's exactly what I was about to suggest. I would make a motion to form an ad hoc committee, naming Councilman Fiebig as chair, and like any of our other committees, he'd then have the ability to approach anywhere from 3 to 5 of us and invite us to join his committee, and so hopefully he can find some willing volunteers. I'd certainly be happy to help as well, and I'm sure most council members would be, but I would make a motion to form an ad hoc communications committee of council with an eye toward updating the technology so that residents can better see the council meetings and have more access to them. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah for council to form an ad hoc committee of ad hoc committee for communication and Councilman Fiebig being the chair of the committee. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Ad hoc committee will be formed. Councilman Fiebig will be the chair, and he'll contact other members, or, of course, you can contact him if you have an interest in collecting some research to improve our audio visuals here at the council table. Any other new business and motions of council?
Madam President, I have two items, one for discussion, one motion. And first, I'd like to briefly just essentially put something into the record. As with the rest of council, and I think most department heads, I received an email from our finance director this morning regarding our contract with Evolve, which is the IT company for the city. I know this is a question that you've directly posed to the finance director as to how we'd continued operating with them without any council approval in the last year. And the finance director had explained that the expenditures had been made without council approval, and attached to it a contract dated December 27th, or signed December 27th, 2016, by Bob Wager. And I do agree with the finance director, given that the contract is clearly for $84,000. It's more than triple the $25,000 spending limit, so I agree this contract was signed without authorization. Just as previous in the meeting, I agree with the 2016 email from the law director that it's crystal clear that the signing of the cell tower agreement was contingent on Planning and Zoning Commission approval and not appropriately signed by the mayor either. I'm not trying to pile on, but it's contract after contract at this point. I think it's important to be read into the record that we've now got, you know, two contracts in front of us that were signed without approval, and I'm very concerned by that. And while the finance director took responsibility, at the end of the day, it's not his signature on the contract. He's not the mayor of Willoughby Hills, and I don't think everyone should have to be constantly watching the mayor for what he's signing. I would really encourage our mayor to be more careful in the future with every contract that he signs to be sure he has full legal authorization to do so. I'm not trying to pile on. I'm just extremely concerned that an $84,000 contract on the one hand, a contract for a cell tower on the other has been signed, and I don't believe either was authorized. So that's item number one. Item number two is somewhat related to it. I would make a motion to go into executive session after for the good of the community before adjournment, inviting all of council, the mayor, the law director, and Mr. Steve Byron to have a personnel relations discussion on the appointment and compensation of a public employee.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to go into executive session after for the good of the community, inviting all of council, the law director, the mayor, and Mr. Steve Byron.
Are we limiting it to time?
I didn't limit the time in my motion. I think it might be an important meeting.
Any discussion?
What is the exact topic again, please?
A personnel relations discussion to discuss the appointment and compensation of a public employee.
Does this relate to the ordinance that we just discussed that we're leaving in committee? Or is this something different?
I would, speaking only for myself, what this relates to is something that I've raised at several council meetings. I think it's important for city council to explore pursuing more legal guidance for council, and I think it's important for us to have a discussion about that. And I want to be respectful of everyone in that conversation, which is why, since this is a personnel matter, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's legally required. I also don't think it's fair or prudent to have that discussion in public.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Fellows?
Yes.
Phoebe?
Yes.
Greer?
No.
Hollum?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Biro?
No.
The motion to go into executive session after for the good of the community, inviting all council members, the law director, the mayor, and Mr. Steve Byron has passed.
Madam President?
Councilman Greer.
I believe Councilman Pletchnik's message got lost in some of the accusations about contracts. But I'd like to go back to that particular contract. What did happen to 2017-13? Why is it not our agenda anymore? 2017-13.
We did not put it on the agenda because I had inquired of Mr. Burkachek how the city paid for those services in 2016, because the last contract was for 3 years, 13, 14, and 15, and I, as I read the information, there was a gap, and so we just decided not to put it on the ordinance as an ordinance, because that should go out for bid, because it's an $84,000 a year contract.
So will it?
I believe the mayor has started to and look at some other
alternatives,
correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Madam President.
But to be clear, it's not required to go out to public bid. It's a professional service. It's exempt from public bid.
Well,
As noted in the whereas clauses of the 2012 ordinance.
But Mr. Burkachek, I asked that at the meeting, the committee meeting, and I have seen these individuals on site doing work. And at the last meeting, the law director indicated that we can go out for bid for professional services.
Okay. Didn't say we couldn't. I said it's not required to go out for bid.
Okay. Okay.
It sounds prudent, and I appreciate you looking into it, Mayor.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Yeah, just to clarify, I do want to make it clear that I'm not making any accusations. I'm simply discussing public records, emails sent by the law director and the finance director. And I do agree with the finance director that the mayor exceeded his spending authority by more than three times. And I think the mayor agrees that he exceeded his spending authority by signing the contract with Evolve. And, I know there's some disagreement now, but I do agree with the law director's statement from 2016, and I've always maintained I don't believe that the mayor should have signed the contract for the cell tower without the authorization of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I believe that he was restricted in Section 4. I understand the law director now takes a different opinion, as he shared with us, but last year he said it's crystal clear, it's totally contingent. So I'm simply trying to make the point that we have multiple instances where it's either crystal clear or fairly clear that the mayor has signed contracts he shouldn't. That's not an accusation. It's just an observation that we need to be far more cautious going forward as a city so that we're not put at risk. Thank you.
Councilman Greer.
Madam President, I've said something similar to this before. When these long diatribes go on, and that was unrelated to the issue at hand, the message gets lost. The people sitting at the council table don't really realize what we're talking about, that we're talking about 2017-13, that we're talking about an IT contract, and then when you bring in a completely different subject, and if we get lost, how do you think the public feels? I think it's detrimental, and it shouldn't be allowed.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Anyone else? Okay, let's move on, please.
Thank you.
Next order of business is for the good of the order. Any for the good of the order?
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
It's with a heavy heart that I express our sincerest condolences to you and your family on the loss of your father, John Rash, who was a Willoughby Hills resident and someone who will be genuinely missed in the community.
Thank you, Dave. Any other for the good of the order or the good of the community?
Can we excuse the finance director and engineer?
Yes, we didn't do that in the motion, and we should have said that.
I will adjourn to go into executive session at 8:10, excusing
Madam President,
finance director and the engineer.
There were a couple of points for the good of the community, a couple of quick announcements, if we could. I did have one for the Willoughby South musical is coming up March 17th, 18th, and 19th. They're producing Guys and Dolls, and it's like 100 of our children, all the way from freshmen to seniors, are involved in that. So a lot of people in the community, and there's a lot of work that goes into that. Also, there's a prom fashion show next Thursday night, and that's also a community event that raises money for their after prom for the seniors that go to Willoughby South. So that's another important thing that our community does. I just wanted to acknowledge that. And our Lake County Port Authority was noted for achievements on their 10th anniversary, and I just wanted to express that also for that organization here in Lake County. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Phoebe. I'll just amend the time to go into executive session.
Madam President.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Two more things.
I'm sorry.
Just Councilman Hallam reminded me that St. Noel's blood drive is this Sunday, so please take yourselves and your blood with you up to St. Noel's and give heartily. Thank you.
Also, I just wanted to mention the building that is just before you get in downtown, just before you get to that building with the whale on it, is being they're exploding that building tonight. So if you hear loud booms in the middle of the night, don't be alarmed. It's that building they've been tearing down. So on the left side as you're heading into downtown.
The old CEI building.
Correct. Yeah, so they're actually they're doing a demolition on that with explosives.
Wow.
This evening, so.
Huh.
Don't be alarmed.
Anyone else for the good of the community? Okay. So we will go into executive session at 8:12. We'll excuse the finance director and the engineer. Thank you.